I'm Frank Garza, and welcome to Here and Abroad, a podcast that follows the U.S. men's national team and their player pool across Europe, MLS, or wherever else they play their club football. On today's show, we're going to preview the Nations League finals. The USMNT plays Jamaica in the first semifinal this Thursday, March 21st. If they win, they'll move on to the final the following Sunday against either Panama or Mexico. To help me preview the matches, I've invited Larry Henry Jr. back to the show. Larry is the managing editor and USMNT insider at SBI Soccer. He's also a writer for MLS and MLS Next Pro. Larry, welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot, Frank, for having me. Good to see you as always. It's good that we're getting closer to the warmer months now in March. And I think the last time we spoke was in January, right? Right when I got back from England. So
I think so.
There's been a knock on wood. There's been no snow since then. So at least for me, I don't know about Texas, but yeah, glad to be back with you and glad to be talking about some competitive U.S. men's national team matches.
Yeah, so I'm here in Austin. I'm about, I think it's around 3 hours from where the U.S. is going to play up in Dallas area. And I can assure you the weather should be perfect. So let's talk about the roster first. So the roster came out last week. There's been a few changes since then, two changes. Haji Wright and Brendan Aaronson are taking the places of Josh Sargent and Luca De La Torre due to injuries. But, you know, thinking back to when that roster was first announced, I want to hear about what some of the maybe surprise inclusions and exclusions were for you in terms of players. Let's start with inclusions first. Who was the biggest surprise inclusion for you for the roster?
Well, I mean, looking at the roster, right, I think everybody, you know, I mean, Greg Berhalter, I think, said it too after the fact, was it was the one of the toughest rosters he had to pick, right? He had a lot of guys back to full availability, a lot of guys playing, you know, really well for their clubs. One guy on the original roster that I was kind of shocked to see was Tyler Adams, right? And that was not because of Tyler Adams's abilities or anything. That was just because of the fact that he hadn't played a lot since he suffered his second serious injury in October at Bournemouth. You know, he comes back. He was able to make his kind of 2024 debut with them in their comeback win in the Premier League against Luton, which was great to see. And then he picked up some minutes as well with the developmental squad there at Bournemouth. But he hasn't, again, he hasn't played all that much, right? He's only played, I think that's three combined appearances now for Bournemouth's first and second teams, you know, since he signed for the club last summer. So obviously it's great to have him back. But I was also just kind of shocked to see him there, right? Just because he's not going to give you 90 minutes. He might not give you more than 60 minutes at most, you know, and then if the U.S. does advance, you know, can you rely on him in the big game in the final, right? But I think too, you know, you can flip the switch too and say, obviously, how important he is in the squad, his presence, his leadership, just that chemistry with the guys. But in terms of guys being able to play and play kind of a match in the semifinal, I was shocked to see him kind of included, kind of like a quick turnaround for him just coming back to full, or I guess not full fitness, but almost full fitness.
Yeah, I was really shocked at his inclusion as well. I mean, if it's just because of the, you know, the leadership he brings to the team, just to get him back around the team, I get all of that. But man, I honestly, and I love Tyler Adams, but if I start to see him like warming up to come into a game, I'm gonna like maybe like shudder a little bit. Like I just don't think it's worth putting him into this match because of like all the time he's been out, all the progress he's made. I just want the number one priority with him to be getting him healthy, getting him going at Bournemouth, and then like, you know, looking ahead to the Copa America. So I don't know about you, but it's great to see him there, but I'm gonna be a little bit nervous about him getting into a game against Jamaica or, you know, potentially Mexico or Panama in a final. So let's talk about exclusions then. Who was the biggest surprise exclusion for you?
Well, probably my biggest exclusion since has gotten kind of changed around, right, was originally Haji Wright, just because of the really good season he's had at Coventry City. Obviously had a great weekend, scoring the winner in the FA Cup quarterfinal win at Wolves, getting Coventry back to the semifinals for the first time since 1987, which they won the competition that year. And now they get to play Manchester United at Wembley, which is going to be probably the most important club match of his career, right? In terms of the opposition and the stage. And he's just done really well to kind of translate his abilities over to England. We saw him in Turkey, right? Kind of as his number nine. And now we see him playing more as kind of a second attacker or a wide option, which is a role that, you know, he's kind of relished, right? He's been scoring goals. He's up to 15 now in all competitions. He's got some assists, you know, brings kind of that verticality to the mix. So I think it was great to see him in. And obviously now he's in. In terms of the exclusions, I didn't really have too many. The only player I really kind of thought maybe deserved another look was John Brooks at center back, or Austin Trusty at center back as well, just because I think that they've been playing a lot regularly, right? And Tim Ream, who is a veteran leader in this team, hasn't really been playing all that much with Fulham. He's had a couple up and down moments, and it's kind of kept him on the bench since then. Whereas Brooks and Trusty have been playing regularly for their clubs. Trusty probably more so than Brooks, right? Just because Brooks is, you know, was recently suspended for a match in the Bundesliga. But yeah, I think outside of Brooks, I wasn't really, didn't think there was too many kind of shockers, right? Brandon Vasquez, I'm sure, is another one for folks who, you know, just because he's been scoring a good amount of goals at Monterrey in his first season there. But again, there's right now, I think all the forwards are doing pretty well, right? Except maybe the only person out of that forward bunch that you could say is not doing particularly well is Florin Balogun. But, you know, he just has so much talent at the number nine that you can't really, I think, drop him just because he hasn't scored that much in his move to Monaco. So yeah, Haji Wright coming in was, I think, crucial. And, I mean, obviously losing Josh Sargent is kind of a bummer, right? Because he's had a good season with Norwich City, scoring a lot of goals since he came back from injury. And again, now it's just another kind of setback for him because he hasn't been part of this team now since the World Cup. So kind of just like Tyler Adams was before he just got called back in.
Yeah, Sargent came all the way back, got the call up, and then basically, what, 1 or 2 days before he was going to get on a plane and come, got injured. So that is unfortunate. You mentioned John Brooks there, and yeah, I was surprised when I saw Mark McKenzie's name, number one, because you know, the first person I thought of was Cameron Carter-Vickers, but it turns out that was more like injury related. I thought, instead of McKenzie, he might try somebody else there, like, you know, Austin Trusty or John Brooks. But yeah, if Brooks didn't make it into this one, I'm not sure he's going to make it into another one. I keep kind of holding out I'd like to see him get called in, because I'd like to see him play, you know, with this team and see what he can do. But it just keeps seeming like more and more unlikely that that's going to happen. Let's talk about those center backs, you know, a little bit more. I want to think about the starting lineup, what that's going to be going into this Jamaica match on Thursday. I think a lot of it is pretty predictable. But center backs is always one of those positions that isn't so predictable. So of the four center backs we have on the roster now, Tim Ream, Miles Robinson, Chris Richards, and Mark McKenzie, which two do you think Greg's going to put into that starting lineup against Jamaica?
He definitely has options, right, between like younger guys and more veteran guys. And although Tim Ream hasn't been playing all that much for Fulham, I don't see him coming into the squad just to sit on the bench, right? I think that we've seen that happen in the past where he might not be playing regularly for Fulham, maybe the first half of the season, and then he would come in and feature for the national team. I think just that veteran experience is crucial, especially too, because you're going to be missing, you know, one of your key pieces in the back line in Sergiño Dest because of his suspension. So I think having a cool head back there, a calming presence in Ream is going to be important. And I just think too, that battle with Mikel Antonio, who 99% is going to be starting probably for Jamaica atop that formation. You know, these are two Premier League guys that have been in the Premier League for a while now. They know, I'm sure they know each other and what they like to do best. And Antonio is a physical guy that it's going to be a physical battle between those two. And I think out of all the center backs, I think Tim Ream probably gives them maybe the best battle in terms of just that veteran on veteran, you know, showdown. And then looking at the second center back position, I think Chris Richards is going to get the start. You know, he's kind of found his way back into Crystal Palace's starting lineup, obviously with the, you know, it hasn't been a great season for them. They've changed coaches, but he's still kept that role and is playing a lot of games consistently, and he's playing particularly well, you know, so which is great, obviously, because this was a guy probably, you know, earlier in the season when he was on the bench regularly, you know, maybe his name was going down the pecking order a little bit in center backs, and now he's kind of skyrocketed back into the conversation. So I think it's going to be Ream and Richards. I mean, obviously, you could make cases for McKenzie and Robinson as well, but I just think those two guys, in terms of, you know, I think they counteract each other, you know, pretty well, and that's my take for the center backs.
Any concern with Ream going up against this front line of Jamaica that, you know, has speed, has the athleticism? We're going to talk a little bit more about their team, you know, a little bit later, but do you hesitate at all to put him in there versus someone like a Miles Robinson and him potentially just get burned? Or do you think his experience is going to just kind of keep him in the right position and prevent that from happening?
Yeah, I think obviously you can make the case, right, that speed might hurt the U.S. At times, but I think, you know, you're going to see Jedi Robinson at left back, and I think Joe Scally is going to be the nod at right back, right, because with Des suspended for this match. So you have, I think, good versatility there and guys that can, you know, get back and defend but also get upfield, whereas Ream might be kind of more your stay-at-home defender. But I think Ream has done well in terms of, you know, again, he's 36 years old now. He's still playing at a high level, can play in some big matches. And even though Miles Robinson is younger and Mark McKenzie is younger, I just think that, again, having that presence is crucial in a big game, semifinal game. You know, you don't want anyone to lose their heads like we saw with Serginho Dest in Trinidad. And I think Ream, again, where he might kind of sit back a little bit more and Richards might maybe take a couple steps forward, because he has that kind of speed advantage over Ream, and you know, you want to have somebody back on the back line. So I think I'm confident with Ream being back there.
Okay, let's talk about the other position that I feel some real uncertainty around, and that's the midfield. Okay, so here's the midfielders that are listed on the roster: Tyler Adams, Johnny Cardoso, Weston McKennie, Yunus Musah, and Gio Reyna. There's also a couple players listed as forwards who can play midfield: Brendan Aaronson and Malik Tillman. So you have all of that group to choose from. I think there's seven guys there. Who do you think is going to make it into the starting midfield?
That's a tough one, right? Because like you said, there's so many guys that can interchange into that midfield. You know, Aaronson can drop into midfield. Tillman can drop into midfield. If you really wanted to, Pulisic could, even though we're probably not going to see him there. But and then two, right? It all kind of depends a little bit maybe on what Tyler Adams's role is going to be. If Greg's confident enough to start him in the midfield, then maybe we see the Adams, McKennie, Musah kind of trio in midfield that we've seen before. It's tough to say. And then two, because you want obviously that creativity in midfield, and looking at the other guys, right, Johnny Cardoso has had a really good season in Spain. I'm not sure we're going to see him in the starting lineup, but definitely a guy that could come off the bench. And Gio Reyna is a big question mark too, right, because he hasn't played all that much. We were all excited to see him get loaned to Nottingham Forest, and it's been kind of a frustrating spell for him. Hasn't played too much, but we've seen what he's done in Nations Leagues, Final Fours before, scoring goals, getting assists. So I think that obviously it depends on Adams's availability. If he's healthy, I think you're going to see an Adams McKinney, Musa trio. But if Berhalter decides to maybe have Tyler Adams maybe off the bench for the second half to shut down a game, then maybe we see Malik Tillman or even Gio Reyna drop into that kind of third midfield position, because Tillman's had a really good season at PSV, creating chances. We haven't really seen that carry over consistently to the national team, but he is obviously in good form right now. But I do think, too, Reyna might be kind of the X factor, right? Because just what he's been able to bring to the table, you know, more recently with the national team, and also his past in the Nations League Final Four.
Wow, Tyler Adams. I can't even... The thought of him being in the starting lineup, that would, I mean, you know, I'm blown away by that he's on the roster. Him being in the starting lineup would blow me away. But, you know, to be fair, I'm not there at training camp. I'm not talking to Tyler Adams. I'm not talking to all the trainers. So they're going to, obviously, I don't think they're going to want to do anything to put him at risk. But I still would be surprised to see him in there. I think one of the interesting decisions here from Berhalter with regards to the personnel he puts in there is, does he kind of stick with this more 4-2-3-1 that he's been playing with, where Gio Reyna's been playing that, you know, number 10, or does he go back to this more traditional 4-3-3 that they played for a long time with the Musa McKennie, you know, Adams? If he wants to stick with the 4-2-3-1, I think you could see McKennie, Musa, and then Tillman kind of step in there for that Gio Reyna role. He plays that at PSV a lot, and I'd like to see him, you know, for one, I think Gio Reyna is obviously the right person to be in there, but I just don't know if I trust him in terms of like being fit, you know, getting the playing time back at his club. And it's like, if we're going to play this 4-2-3-1, I kind of feel like we need to have a plan B for if he's not able to go, like in the Copa America. And I'd like to see Tillman get like a shot, you know, playing that role. But then Greg might decide, I'm just going to go with 4-3-3, and then I think you might see just McKennie, Musa, and then Cardoso, who's the guy I think, you know, might be in there. Another guy I just like to get a look at because I haven't seen him play much with the USMNT. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tough to say, right? If we knew Tyler Adams' kind of availability at this moment, it would probably make our decision so much easier. But yeah, I just think that there's so many ways Greg can go. I mean, me personally, I really like Malik Tillman. I think he deserves more of a chance with the national team. Again, he could play that number 10 role instead of Gio Reyna. Maybe you save Reyna for off the bench just because he hasn't played too much. He was out of the squad at Forest for a little bit. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think McKinney's obviously had a great season, you know, wants to carry that over to the national team. Musa's been, you know, not starting every single match, but he's been playing important minutes now for Milan. And, you know, I think that, you know, them, for them at least, the title race is kind of over in Serie A, or close to being over, but they still have Europa League to play for. So he'll probably see more minutes there. And I think Cardoso, like you said, a guy who we haven't seen all too much, but he's having a really good season in Spain, kind of made that smooth transition like Haji Wright's done with the move to England. So It'll be interesting to see. I just think even if Tyler Adams gives you 45 minutes, that's an important 45 minutes for him, and I think for the team. But then again, like you said, there's also the risk of, you know, what happens if he does get hurt or something happens, and it's just another kind of long-term setback for him and one of the, you know, prime faces of this national team.
Yeah, center back and midfield. That's who I'm going to have my eye on when that lineup card comes out about an hour before kickoff on Thursday. Let's talk about the opponent, Jamaica, a little bit. When you look at Jamaica, what do you think's the key things that, you know, USMNT fans need to know about them or be watching out for during the match regarding Jamaica?
Yeah, I think that Jamaica's obviously, we've seen him over the last year really improve under Hal Grimson, the new coach. They've definitely become more competitive in terms of playing, you know, some of the tougher teams in CONCACAF and getting results. I know in 2023, I think they tied Mexico. They picked up, you know, knocked out Canada, you know, from the tournament, or at least from making the Final Four. They picked up some good results in Nations League, and also just in, you know, friendlies and all. And obviously there's some people missing, right? You know, there's looking at the roster, there's still talent there, but there's no Leon Bailey, who's had a good season for Aston Villa.
Would you say he's their best player?
I would. Yeah, I would. I think right now, right? I mean, Antonio is obviously, you know, he's, you know, one of the key goal scorers and you know, kind of came into the Jamaica team with a lot of hype and expectation. I remember scored on his debut against, I believe it was against the national team in that World Cup qualifying draw, 1-1. And but looking at the wide players they have, right? I mean, they've just been able to kind of get a lot of guys to commit to this program and kind of this turnaround. And Bailey's been huge for them. You know, obviously if you're a neutral, it's unfortunate that he's not in the squad, because I think he just makes this game a lot more exciting and watchable. But I think as a US MNT fan, you're excited, because then you don't have to deal with it. You don't have to watch this guy trying to get after the back line. But that doesn't mean that they don't have talent. Obviously Tamari Gray, you know, won't be eligible for the semifinal match, but you know, he's been kind of crucial in this turnaround. Shamar Nicholson's kind of been around in this program for a while now, 44 caps. Andre Blake obviously is one of the prime faces, the Philadelphia Union goalie, 70 caps, you know, 33 years old, but still playing at a high level. And then, yeah, I just think it's a good, hardworking team, you know, flexibility, versatility, and like you said earlier, a lot of speed on the wings and guys that can kind of interchange, right? You have Bobby D. Cordova-Reed, who plays at Fulham with Jedi Robinson and Tim Ream. You know, he's listed as a midfielder, but we've seen him at Fulham kind of in a winger role. He could interchange. You know, you have Antonio, who's going to probably be at that number nine role. You have Corey Burke, who's been around for a while. So there's definitely a lot of talent on this team, and I think you're just going to see more and more of that over the next few years kind of trickle in for Jamaica. We've seen a lot of guys switch their, you know, international allegiance. Tavon Gray, who was once a USMNT kind of prospect, you know, he's part of that team now with Jamaica. And then, you know, the guys we've said, Antonio, Damari Gray, Leon Bailey, all one-time England internationals now switching their allegiance and just making Jamaica just much more tougher to play against.
Yeah, they definitely have talent on the team. I do think it's very noteworthy, you know, Leon Bailey being out. And for those who don't know, he's out due to a suspension. I think it was some kind of curfew issue during the Nations League quarterfinal matchup. But, you know, he scored a ton of goals in the Premier League, you know, this year, and is probably their best player. You take him out, and, man, I know they still have talent. There's, you know, a couple other Premier League guys. I was looking through the roster. There's eight other guys that compete in lower divisions of England, like, the, you know, the Championship, and a few lower leagues. But still, they have guys playing throughout, you know, Europe. They have guys in MLS. And so it's definitely not a team to be taken lightly. I don't think there's any way that this U.S. men's national team will take them lightly. But I personally think this is a team that we should get past. What do you think?
Yeah, I think ultimately this is a team that it's going to be a good showdown for the U.S. They've had some kind of tough times in the last few matches beating Jamaica in regulation, dating back to the last Gold Cup. I know it was a completely different roster in terms of the U.S., but Jamaica did have a lot of these guys there for that tournament, you know, and like I said, World Cup qualifying, they had that draw in Jamaica. So Jamaica's definitely become more of a consistent competitor, right? They've been getting some big results. They beat Canada. I think that speaks for itself, being able to eliminate them kind of from the Final Four, going into the Final Four. But I just think the U.S. has got so much talent right now. A lot of guys playing in great form, you know, Pulisic, Haji Wright, you know, Ricardo Pepi, even though he hasn't started a match in so long, he's still scoring goals. McKinney, Jedi Robinson, you know, I just think that this is still a game the U.S. should win. They're at home. And ultimately, if they don't win, then it's another kind of worrying moment, you would probably say, for Greg Berhalter heading into the summer, into a Copa America at home. Obviously, you still have 2 years to the World Cup. But, you know, I think if you don't get a trophy in this competition and probably, you know, they're not going to be – I don't think they're going to be favorites in the Copa America. But if you don't have a good showing there, I mean, we could be talking about a new – possibly a new head coach heading into next year, all right, because you want to get it right before 2026.
If they lose to Jamaica, there will be a lot of pressure, I think, on Berhalter, even more so heading into that Copa America. So, yeah, that's definitely a possibility. I mean, I hate to look too far ahead of ourselves here, but, you know, I do think there's a good chance at the end of the day we're going to end up with another U.S.-Mexico, you know, final. You know, the U.S. still has to beat Jamaica. Mexico has to beat Panama, which I think they're going to have a harder time with Panama than we are with Jamaica. But it does seem very likely that the U.S. and Mexico could meet in another final, which would be, you know, that's one of my favorite. I mean, when U.S.-Mexico play in a final, I wake up that morning and I got a little extra bounce in my step. I mean, there's few matchups I'd rather see than that. You know, if we do see this U.S.-Mexico matchup in the final, give me your thoughts on that matchup and how you think it might go.
It'll be, I think it'll be just, you know, another USA-Mexico clash, right? So much excitement, so much pressure, just the kind of a little bit extra aggressiveness in terms of the two teams playing each other. Obviously, the history between them, the US's kind of recent, I guess, dominance, right, in competitive matches against Mexico, not only in the Nations League, but in the Gold Cup. I think it'll be another crucial game for Berhalter and these guys, but a challenge that they're probably looking forward to, knowing that this could happen on the other side of the semifinal round. And obviously Mexico's got no easy task of their own, but you know, they kind of limped in a little bit to the semifinal, needing penalties to beat Honduras, but I think too they know the pressure's on them just as much as the pressure's on the USA. So I think that both teams are going to be up for it. And I think, again, as a neutral or a fan of either team, you're going to be pumped up for that. So I think we will see a U.S.-Mexico final again. And, you know, excited to see kind of those added aggressive feelings, or not aggressive feelings, but you know what I mean, getting amped up for it, that little extra juice, even
the intensity between the teams. Yeah. I mean, you think about that last match with McKennie's jersey getting ripped up, Dest getting in a fight, and I think getting kicked out. So yeah, I know what you're saying. And you know, you mentioned that the recent U.S. dominance over this Mexican team. And did you know, the last time Mexico beat the United States in any men's match was September 6th, 2019. So we're going on a little bit more than 4.5 years. This is most likely going to be the last time they play in a while. I mean, I think they're on the opposite sides of the Copa America like bracket. So I think they'd both have to make it to the final to like play each other, which is very unlikely. So that means if the U.S. beats Mexico, if the U.S. and Mexico play in the final and the U.S. wins, will most likely get to September before they play again. That would be 5 years since Mexico beat the U.S. Think about that. Half a decade of not beating the U.S., which is, I think, pretty unbelievable and quite a change from like what we've seen, you know, in the rivalry. So, Larry, who do you think wins the CONCACAF Nations League finals this week?
Yeah, I got to go with the USA. I just think that, again, talent-wise, guys in good form, it's a bunch of things, right? And being at home, you have that pressure. I think they probably have the most pressure on them out of any of these four teams left in the competition. You've already won two Nations Leagues. You want to win a third. You want to bring home another trophy. Set yourself up for what we hope is a good summer at the Copa America. Also the Olympic team, who, you know, we might see some of these guys drop into that at part of that roster. But I just think that there's too much talent on this team not to win this competition. And, you know, I just think that the Jamaica game will be crucial. And then obviously that final is going to be even more crucial in that, knowing that Mexico could be in it. And like I said, I do think it's going to be U.S. versus Mexico in the final on Sunday. And I like the USA to win it on home soil. And yeah, just pack another trophy into that case, man. We got a big summer coming, and hopefully we can make a clean sweep by the end of it.
I agree with you. I think the U.S. should win. I think sincerely we have the best players of any team in CONCACAF right now. They're in tremendous form right now. If you look how they've been playing at their club teams. And yeah, I hope we get this victory and can, because I think the momentum is important, you know, heading into the summer. Well, Larry, thank you so much for being on the show. I'll make sure and put links in the show notes to your X account, which is at LHenry019, and also to your work at SBI Soccer. Before I let you go, one thing I want to mention is that this episode today is the 50th episode of Here and Abroad. And I have a trivia question for you based on that, not to put you on the spot, but you've been one of the most frequent guests on Here and Abroad. And so the trivia question is, how many appearances do you have on Here and Abroad counting today, do you think?
Oh, man. I was thinking in my head what the question was going to be, and it was that. I'm going to say this has to be, when was our first one? I'm trying to think, 2023, 2022?
Well, the podcast started in February of last year.
Okay, so
February 2023. We probably had our first episode around March, April of 2023, so probably about a year ago.
Okay. I'm going to say this is the seventh.
You're close. This is your sixth time.
Sixth.
On Here and Abroad. So more than 10% of the total episodes you've been on here. So thank you so much for all the times you've come on here. You're always a great guest, and I always enjoy talking to you.
Oh yeah, Frank. Thanks always for having me. I always look forward to our chats about the USMNT, Americans Abroad. And yeah, I know I guessed seven, but I already know I'll be on the show eventually again. So I will get to number seven.
That's true. You most certainly will. Well, thank you, Larry. And thanks to everyone for listening to Here and Abroad. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with a fellow USMNT fan. I'm Frank Garza. You can follow me on X at Frank Garza 007, and I'll be back next week with a new episode.